In most families, it's the parents that yell at the kids to turn down the music. But for Kelly and Temple, it's the moms who rock out in the all-woman band, the Big Diddies. Kelly and Temple first came together to carpool their kids to school, and after a legendary playdate with lots of wine, it all ended with them forming a band.
Now these rebellious gals have been called into the copyright law's principal office for posting a video parody of Extreme's 1990 hit song, More Than Words, which they've rewritten using Trump's own horrible words. Today, rockers Kelly Owen Hutton and Temple, who form part of the rock trio The Big Diddies, joins us to talk about the weird place they find themselves in now that the parody video has been shut down by Extreme's record label.
Plus, Trump says he would have run into the Florida school during the shooting without a weapon.
The kids are all right. Parkland students Cameron Klasky and Emma Gonzalez raise over $2.6 million to stop the NRA.
And how to rock out in everyday life. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible by generous support of fabulous people like you. Become a member and access all our shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
It's Ladies Brunch today on the Feast of Fun. We're joined by the she-larious Kelly Owens Hutton and her gal pal Temple, who along with another soccer mom Ricky formed the super group Big Diddies. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Now, Kelly, you have a stage name, and you go by DJ K-Hey.
Hey. That's right.
And every time we say your name, we have to respond with,
what
hey.
Name? What name is that?
DJ K-Hey.
Hey.
So this is very like a sort of Pee-wee's Playhouse, the secret word of the day.
It's very interactive.
And then, Temple, you go by the name Tupo.
Tupo.
Yes.
Like Tupac.
But much better.
Much better than that. And what was the meaning or significance of Tupo? Or?
Because when you're dancing, it's better to have Tupo than one.
And then the third one who's not here today is Ricky,
yep.
Who goes by the stage name Ad Rick, because she's mm-hmm. in ads advertising sales, too.
No, oh, yeah, totally.
So, you guys, you're known for your song parodies. You're a comedy group. Mm-hmm. And your last video, quite hilarious, a mom just quit the band. And you guys got inspired by Donald Trump and decided to make song parodies great again. And you took all his tweets and put them together to the song and the words of the 90s power ballad Extreme, More Than Words.
Yep.
But it seems like the principal of the School of Copyright Law has called you into the office and said no.
Ding dong.
What happened? what happened to your parody video?
So it got pulled down. We put it out and YouTube shut it down. And we reached out to the management and they shut it down. They shut it down.
What? So can you tell me a little bit about the history? Like, how did you girls come together? And it was basically, the idea was that you guys were going to carpool your kids to school.
So we had a play date.
Mm-hmm.
And three
for the kids.
For the kids. Mm. And maybe for Tupo and I. And three bottles of wine later, we were, in a band together, basically.
And do you guys both have a musical background?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kelly, you teach vocal instruction for rock and roll musicians.
Yes, I teach at School of Rock. Yeah. I teach voice at School of Rock.
And in your past recent incarnations, you had a solo career as a musician.
I did, yeah. I mean, I went to Berklee College of Music, and then I moved to New York, and I got signed, and then I got dropped. And, it's a typical
Katy Perry of the early 90s.
It's just a typical, music business story. Mm.
What was your music like when you were a solo artist?
It was rock. It was, singer, songwriter, rock.
So it's very, very similar to kind of what other artists could we compare it to?
Probably like Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
You know, meets Lucinda Williams and Bonnie Raitt, kind of.
If it makes you happy, can't be that bad.
Yeah.
And then, Temple, what's your journey with music? Like, how did you come together?
Annie did it for me when I was a kid.
The Broadway musical.
Yes, I was a triple threat. And then I went to a little place up in Michigan called Interlochen Arts Academy
and studied
classical. Mm-hmm. And then I went to University of Miami. Mm. And
I like how you correctly pronounce it.
Yes.
The University
of Miami. And studied jazz and learned how to scat in all different languages. And then moved up to Chicago.
Wait, mm-hmm. Isn't scat like a language of its own, or is it really
scooby dooby dooby?
Well, so Temple or Tupou. How did you guys know that? Did you guys expect that? You guys knew so much about music, and you guys had still a yearning, a passion to create work as adults and with kids and families.
Well, so what happened was, is we got really drunk. Yeah. And Tupou was excited to meet a fellow mom that could party as hard as her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already started the Big Ditties with Adric. And she basically, you know, asked me to join the band, having never heard me. She had heard me sing or do anything.
No, but she could throw back, and I figured she could hang.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so we show up to the first rehearsal, and it's Ad, Rick, and Tupou, and I show up with my Wurlitzer, you know, my keyboard, and I'm like, and
no, it was a Wurlitzer.
It's a Wurlitzer. It's an actual Wurlitzer.
What is a Wurlitzer exactly?
It's like a 300-pound organ that I show up for the first, you know, rehearsal.
You're not talking about your husband. You're talking about
No, we're not.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Jesus, come on, let's go.
You can edit that out, right?
Yeah. And so you guys, it was love at first rock.
Yeah, well, Rick was totally sizing me up. Like, who is this chick? What the hell? How did she get here? Tupou, I'm going to kill you. You know, and then we started playing, and it was like, you know, angels.
Don't forget all the beer and Prosecco that you brought, too. That put Ricky in.
That helped.
I'm concerned about your stage names, because I don't think you're fooling anybody. I mean, that's the thing about it is like, are you getting these stage names because you're worried that the people in your schools or your neighbors are going to be like, look at that. That poor woman, she has a drinking problem, and now she thinks she's a rock star.
Well, we've already been fired by Extreme, so, you know.
Yeah. But wait, I mean, but you guys, was there a conscious decision to having these kind of like stage names as opposed to using your first names?
You know, it's a character. It's, you know, we're just taking the piss out of everything.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're kind of sort of laughing at the music industry as
Without
well.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Totally.
And
making
so
fun of it. Completely.
That was kind of like what inspired you guys to make Mom Just Quit the Band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that video, things are set on fire. There's a really creepy clown. There's children crying. I love anybody who makes children cry is all right by me in the music video.
Yes.
Everybody's being too, like all these drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, whenever they have kids in the music video, the kids are like, oh God, how much are we getting paid for this?
You know? No.
Whereas the kids in your music video are your actual children.
That's right.
Yeah.
But unlike some other showbiz moms who are like, my son or my daughter can sing so well, you guys are like, these kids are going to make excellent props.
Absolutely. Use them.
And so you guys decided, you guys were outraged by Donald Trump, as most Americans are, and you guys decided to write a parody about that, right?
Yeah.
How did that start?
Well, so many of our friends were writing brilliant songs, but they were so angst, you know, driven, and
they were sad.
Yeah, we're not about that. You know, we're the Big Ditties, and originally we were gonna do something with his tweets. I wish they were tweets. In more of a rap format, which is like our other songs have morphed into. But then Adric came up with the brilliant idea of turning it into, you know, just more of a beautiful folk ballad, perhaps. And, you know, we were going back and thinking through time of all of the brilliant ballads that are out there. And then Extreme just popped into my head, because they usually do. I mean, I've always had a thing.
You guys are
actually huge. Yep. That song was so big.
It was giant.
It's iconic.
For people who are not familiar with this song, because there's, you know, they were in the, their song came out in 1990, which is
28 years ago.
28 years ago.
It seems like it was yesterday.
It was
28 years
more
ago.
More than words are more, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't, I fear singing too much of it because then they'll sue me.
You might get sued. Yeah. Might get sued.
That would be extreme.
And so you guys posted this video of you guys dressed up pretty much in your own street clothes, right?
We're doing the Big Ditties, you know, the way the Big Ditties roll. And then we're making fun of the video.
You still had that creepy clown, and you had a very sexy wrestler.
Yeah, baby. Fausto. Fausto plays the drummer.
But for some reason, I wore a wrestler because I had the outfit from Alaska's chicken dance video or something.
Racer Chaser and some chicken songs.
So Alaska Thunderfuck, mm-hmm. you guys know from RuPaul's Drag Race, she like calls me up and is like, Fausto, do you have a wrestling singlet? And I'm like, Mark does, because Mark's into that kind of mm-hmm. kinky shit. I'm not. I don't. And he's like, I want you guys to be on a performance with me. And so she brilliantly and generously got two identical wrestling singlets for Mark and I with shoes to wear. And then she gave us these plastic chicken masks and then got us onto the stage. And I didn't realize that you need breathing holes in those things. And we hadn't really rehearsed it. And we're just kind of clucking around and moving around mm-hmm. while she's doing
her song. You're pretty blind in those things. Yeah.
And you can't see anything. So the eye holes, I'm moving my mouth into one of the right eyes so I can breathe out of the thing.
I just didn't breathe. I was like, oh, my.
Oh, my God.
And so we're dancing around, and people are just like, who the fuck are these weird old men with the chicken masks?
Mm. Oh, my God.
And we took it off, and they're like, oh, it's them. So we recycled that for your music video, and the first day we shot it, I had skipped breakfast. I was nice and cut. I did like push-ups.
You look so hot.
I was in good shape. I was ready for the photograph. And we shot all these amazing things.
Yes.
And then the footage somehow got lost or destroyed, right?
What, the stills,
oh, the
you
first
mean?
The first shoot. Yeah, we had to reshoot.
Oh, yes, that's right. We had to go back for a reshoot. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, we put a lot of work into this video.
And then you called me, Fausto, mm-hmm.
I was like,
don't hate me. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll do it. I can do it again. But the second time, I was like, I didn't sleep well the night before and stuff. And of course, you know, got all the unflattering footage.
No.
It's being used on me. And so I collaborated with Extreme and said, shut this video down. I love Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Hey, at least the second time I didn't make you carry my ass.
That was the best part of the video. So in the middle of the video, where you're kind of like Cleopatra,
yep.
and the clown and I... Well, the clown is one of you guys' husbands, right?
Adrex.
Adrex's husband, who's super cool.
He's
I love
hilarious.
The guy.
Hilarious.
What's his name, though?
John.
John the mm-hmm. clown.
John the clown. And he's actually the only real actor on set. You know,
John works as a professional actor, stage actor.
He did, yeah. He's really, really good. I mean, he was brilliant in Mom Quit the Band. We were like all mesmerized by him.
Yeah, he's
doing
good.
He was amazing, yeah.
He doesn't have to do much.
No.
A good actor pulls you in.
Thank you. That's exactly what he does.
Whereas I'm like hamming it up and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're carrying your surprisingly substantial body. Because you look like you weigh 100 pounds or something.
Yeah, but it's all muscle, baby.
It's all muscle, and muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah.
So or bones.
And,
you know,
and boobs.
And when
boobs.
You got breasts like me, you know, it's a third of the body weight.
Honey, and silicone ain't cheap or light.
Hey, these bitches are real. I even let you feel them.
I did. And so we were filming this thing, and Kelly's like, just grab my boobs. And I was like, why is it? So there was one time that we were interviewing Kathy Griffin in the backseat of her limousine. And she turns around, and I asked her, like, are those boobs real? Because she's really bragging about how she's out of plastic surgery. And she's like, why don't we just grab them right now and answer for once and for all? And so I was like, I was petrified. Because the publicist had been really mean to us earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to get kicked out of Kathy Griffin's limo with cameras rolling on the stuff. And I'm just like timidly shaking my hand, grabbing her boob. And she's like, well? And I was like, I don't know what fake ones feel like.
Rocks.
They feel like Dr. Scholl. So my half sister Jaji in Puerto Rico, she got boobs, fake boobs put in, and she's like, she had knew about this story, and she turns to me and she's like, Fausto, I want you to grab my two boobies and find out if what silicone looks like and feels like. And so I'm grabbing them, and I'm just like, they do feel like totally like, you know, those gel insoles that you put. But, you know, it looked fantastic. I couldn't tell.
Their sister's tits were very perky, especially for somebody who was, what was she, 62?
She's like 70 now, yeah.
At the time, she was like 62, I think.
She rocks out at 70, honey. It's like, learn from all the Puerto Rican women. Age is just a little number you sometimes have to lie about.
So she got implants in her 60s?
Yeah, baby. Never.
Yeah.
That's I posted a status update the other day. It's never too late.
So it's never too late. Extreme may let us put back up our video.
Yeah. What do you think?
So you guys were really
happy. Saying it. I think you just need to post it back up and see if YouTube tries to take it down again.
Well, I mean,
it's a parody, right?
It's a parody, and if you look up that song and parodies of that song, there are tons of them out there. So why pick on us?
Jimmy Fallon and Jack Black support works. There's some high school students that did one. Melissa Wheeler is another artist, and even Weird Al Yankovic have all done song parodies of this song. But for some reason, doing it about Trump's tweets was a little controversial for them.
Maybe, and I mean, we're just, you know, we're just three middle-aged cool chicks from Chicago
and
a comedy band called the Big Ditties that have barely even cracked 1,000 Facebook followers. I mean, what's the problem? You
they
know?
Often pick on the little guy, you know, because it's easy to kind of shut that down. And I wonder if it was like a different kind of parody if it wasn't so politically charged, because, you know, these people still want to make money off the song and they want to make money from rednecks that support Trump. So I wonder how much of this was politically motivated. Or is it just, you know, the algorithm of Facebook, you know, recognizes this medley and says, okay, this is, you know, you're violating copyright because of that, but they aren't understanding that it's parody.
Well, the manager, I mean, why did the manager said, you know, we shut it down, and we just don't think, I mean, we've heard so much cool things.
Because you guys are in communication with the manager.
Yeah, so our manager connected with him, and he's like, we're like, what happened? Why was this pulled down? And he was like, we shut it down, you know. It's just done. We shut down parodies all the time. And we're like, well, we wonder if Gary and Nuno have seen the video, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we just think that these guys were so, you know, awesome. Like, why would they care? How are we possibly hurting the branding of that band, you know? Like, come on, guys, you know? Like, this is funny, you know?
So you guys are trying to reach out to the artists who form Extreme, two guys with long hair, and the drummer.
Nuno, say yes.
And maybe start a Nuno Say Yes campaign.
New Yes.
You know, you at least have to see the video for the ginormous triple hair flip. That's
yes.
in it. I mean, Ricky was in a cone for months.
She was. And she every time she flipped, she'd be like, my neck, neck.
She almost like,
what's the deal with the hair
damage.
Flip? I'm not sure if I get the joke.
The original video, Nuno's flipping his hair.
Okay.
I mean, he has the most gorgeous,
gorgeous
head of hair.
Yeah. Wow.
There was another similar group called Nelson at the time.
Yes.
That almost looked identical to these guys, only they were blonde twins.
Yes. Oh, my God. Nelson. Yeah. Their father was Ricky Nelson, right?
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
And I was like, what kind of crazy shit came out of your body, Ricky Nelson?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when Extreme was coming up, they came up from Boston. I was in Boston at that time. And one of the band members went to Berkeley, and they were in this band called In the Pink. I told them they were huge, you know. And I just remember in Boston, we were all like, you know, that song, you could not get away from that song, you know.
So you actually know people who know the band members of Extreme. Why don't you just call them up and say,
We're going to.
Because the world needs to see this.
Come on.
For the listeners of the show, if they want to watch the video, they can just send you an email
through our website, thebigditties.com.
And they can watch me as a wrestler and a creepy clown. Try to hold Kelly's body up for 1 second.
You were like shaking. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I feel terrible about myself.
I was like, what's happening? Please hurry.
It was just a weird angle, you know?
I didn't want to drop you.
It was weird, you know? That's why I was like, just put your hand in my my boob because it was like gonna push me up more.
Yeah,
you know. But then we didn't put that in the video. But yeah,
that's my favorite part of the video.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like, no,
yeah.
That and getting a sack of drugs spilled on my head.
Yes.
Oh, that's rather the cocaine.
Yeah.
How did you guys go about deciding which Trump? Because Trump said a lot of outrageous things.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. This was like, we did about four different writing sessions, one of which Tupo and I keep doing that. Tupo.
You guys even know your own names.
I know. I'm just so used to, you know.
Just Temple.
I just got to get, yeah. Anyway. So
or come up with other soccer mom names, like Brittany, Kate.
Yeah.
And Susan.
Susan.
You know, that would be fun.
So we.
I'd be like, I got some Kool-Aid. I got some Rice Krispie treats, you know.
That's right.
I think
Susan.
It'd be funny to go more old
and
school.
Meth.
Like Ethel.
Ethel Gladys. Come on, Gladys. Get it together.
Ethel was my grandmother's name.
Mine too.
Oh, really?
She got around.
But yeah, you guys have these song lyrics memorized, which are based off Trump tweets. So what are some of the ones that stand out for you guys? Like, that you're just like, I can't believe that he actually said that.
Grab him by the pussy.
Well, we all know that one. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the original idea was, I was like, we need to just wrap his stuff and just always end it with exclamation point, like exclamation point, you know? So, we just, you know, the chorus is just his greatest hits of that, of Covfefe, huge disaster.
I believe it's Covfefe.
Or, yeah, it could be Covfefe. We're not sure.
Well, I'm the one who was saying that because I saw... You know, I see these words and I think in my brain it's Spanish. So, cofefe.
Yeah, yeah. Cofefe.
But Liz Winstead, I think this was on our podcast, she said it was Covfefe. So,
maybe.
It depends on who you talk to.
So, you know, Liz says it's Covfefe. Yeah. I say it's Covfefe. But let's call it the whole thing off.
Yeah. But the whole thing about it was that it took us a long time to write this because, you know, usually you're worried about having enough ideas. And with this, we had so much that it was about editing and pulling and editing and getting it down. And what's going to be like vital in 3 months from now, because everything keeps changing all the time, you know. At one point we're like, should we do the whole thing on women? Do we do a whole thing on the wall? And we just had to edit, and it took us quite a bit of time. Plus, we didn't want to make it like too depressing, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted to stick some zingers in there that would be funny.
We did have parameters,
yeah.
There were some things that were depressing, so we said let's keep it lighthearted, because actually some of the more conservative members of my family, that I don't know if they voted for Trump or not, but they tend to vote Republican. They don't have a problem with it, you know, watching it. They don't have a problem with it because it's his words, first of all. It's not ours,
exactly.
Well, a lot of Republicans that supported Trump, now they're like going, I'm not really interested in politics anymore.
Yeah.
Because you are bad at making decisions. Don't vote, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird all the backflips people will go to support him. You know, the Christian evangelicals who are like against divorce, against gay stuff, you know, against pornography and all that stuff. But they're like, you know, just hold your nose and vote for Trump because he's Republican.
Right.
And it just shows how much they're just controlled by the powers that be and dupes.
You know, I feel that shutting us down, I really can't believe that Extreme has actually seen this video, because in not letting us put this video out there, I mean, they're basically denying us, you know, the free speech that we have. Mm-hmm. But it's a parody that we're doing, but it's not our words really. It's Trump's words.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe Trump,
they're supporting
them. Copyright.
I mean, believe me, I thought about that.
I don't know. I mean, are they supporting what he stands for? They're supporting Trump. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I know people that know him, and I truly believe, I'm going to believe that people that know him know them extreme, and I believe that they are much cooler than this.
Yeah,
I
for
just
sure.
Do.
We
I
want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
We really want them to see it, and we would love for them to give us permission. You know, we just want to share this. We think it's hilarious.
Well, initially, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister and Al Gore, Bill Clinton's vice president, were political enemies because it was Al Gore's wife, Tipper, that wanted to pass all these censorship laws based on Twisted Sister's album covers and lyrics.
Yep.
Which, you know, in hindsight today is like, fast forward to the future, you know, Dee Snider and everybody kissed and made up.
Yeah.
And Dee Snider endorsed Al Gore for president when he ran.
Well, Dee Snider's a big, big liberal. I mean, you know, we actually want to, we would love to get this video to him.
We talked about that.
Yeah, J.J. French.
Just tweet these guys.
We will.
Yeah.
J.J. Yeah. French actually used to, we were in talks of him managing me when I was in New York. And so we know them, you know. So
J.J. French is, for people that don't know.
He's in, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, who J.J. French
is? He's in Twisted Sister.
Is he in the band. He's the other guy who's not Dee Snider.
Yeah. Exactly.
We actually came, they came to Chicago for the opening of the Hard Rock Cafe, and the publicist had me interviewing him in the early days of the podcast, and we got to talk a lot about other stuff, and he just struck me as a really grassroots guy, but what really cracked me up was seeing them. These guys are, you know, they've been around the block. I don't know if they're actually later in their years or they've just had done so many drugs and alcohol that they look like they're out, you know, ready for a retirement home. And they're like, we're not going to take it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you're not going to take it by now, you're not going to take it ever.
Speaking of the look, I mean, Extreme look amazing still. If you go to their website.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
You're just trying to butter them up.
I mean, like, you know,
Kelly,
still has that hair.
Your words do not impress me.
Gary's got, like, he's got his bicep all flexed in the.
Really? I want to see it. Go Google Extreme.
You got to say his flexing bicep.
He's flexing his bicep. He looks hot. His hair looks great. He looks amazing.
Look at that.
Yes. Yes. There they are.
That vintage logo.
The hair is still long.
There might be a wig at this point in time, but you never know.
Or it's hair extensions.
They look like they have taken really good care of themselves.
they're wearing hair extensions today.
Well, you know, it was a lot of those 80 rockers, they all wore wigs, right? You know, some of them.
Well, they just
pieces.
Had a shit ton of hairspray.
It would be great if somebody from Metallica that took themselves really seriously, just the wig got caught in a wire and flew off and they were like bald underneath or something.
Yes.
It's kind of like Trump's, you know, getting on that airplane and his whole hair flying off. That was so amazing.
I saw that. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Trump said, Mark, that he said of if there was a school shooting and he was nearby, he'd go in and save all the kids.
Yeah, he told a group of governors, he goes, you know, I really believe, you don't know until you're tested, but I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon, and I think most of the people in this room would have done that too. Says the guy who drafted the Dodge by saying he had bone spurs like three times or something like
President
that.
President Bone Spurs is now here. Hero.
Yeah,
I would have run in there. I really believe I would have run in there. Wrong.
Well, a lot of the things that Trump is putting out there is a lot of it just to be distractions, right?
Of course.
So the idea of arming school teachers is just completely nonsense. And he even knows, and Republicans know, that that's not going to happen. Because, one, just the quick answer to that is, like, can you imagine a teacher shooting a student by mistake?
All the time. You know? And Trump has updated that statement saying that he only thinks that teachers that have a natural affinity with guns are the ones.
Natural talent.
Natural talent with guns are the ones that should do it.
So is that going to be on the resume? Like, I have a natural affinity for guns. Hire me.
And would it's you really might. Want your kids to go to school where the school teacher has a natural talent for shooting people with guns?
Ooh, let's put our kids in this one. They've got natural affinity for guns.
I know, and I mean,
you guys are parents. Would you want your teacher armed? Seriously.
No. Hell no, do I want my kids in a classroom?
Especially because I know my kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's like they'd be shot the first day.
Her son is a total pain in the ass.
How often, like, you know, the teacher's like, you do your homework, he'll pull out the gun. I have a gun, I know how to use it.
Yeah, you thought that, what is it, that Harry Potter headmistress that scratches the back of your hand, Dolores Umbridge, was rough?
Maybe we should put him in a school like that, Tupo. Then we wouldn't have to deal with homework anymore.
What?
Are schools doing stuff now to make sure, like, their doors can lock and that kind
of
stuff?
Of course,
They have, like, metal detectors. But you guys send your kids to a pretty, like, progressive school.
Yeah, we don't
carpool together.
Yeah, we don't have metal detectors, but they do lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So they do all that shit. And they don't, you know, the older kids know what it's for, but the younger ones are like, oh, great, we get to hide in a closet again today. You know?
Well, when I was a kid, we used to have to hide under a desk because of a nuclear attack.
Right.
You know?
So and or like, a tornado.
Or a tornado or something like that. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And now it's like guns. So.
So a lot, what's really given me hope and inspiration is these young kids, the Parkland students, Cameron Klasky, who coined the hashtag Never Again, and Emma Gonzalez. They've started a nonprofit political action group. And they've raised over $1 million.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's great.
People are fed up, you know? And it's, you know, when you had, like, Sandy Hook, the, you know, most of the kids that got, that died were young kids. So there was nobody to kind of stand up and be like, hey, we survived this and we don't want to see this again. You know, and for whatever reasons, people don't want to listen to parents. But, you know, these teenagers are out there and they're speaking up and they're getting on the news and they're talking. And people are like, we need to listen to them.
But there's a reason why Republicans want to defund schools. And it really comes really clear when in these interviews with Cameron and Emma, they went on Ellen, and they're like, Ellen's like, how are you guys so smart and wise beyond your years at such a tender young age? And they just said, we had a really good education. And some, ironically, we've been preparing for a moment like this with our teachers, not just in you know, what happens in the emergency, in the case of an emergency, if somebody comes to shoot our schools, but we've been debating gun control and organizing ourselves politically and public speaking and learning about history and government. And for them, it's this, you know, sometimes for people, greatness is thrust upon them. And, and certainly Cameron Klasky and Emma Gonzalez are two extraordinary young people who, instead of, you know, when we usually hear teenagers, they're like, oh my God, you know, Debbie was so mean to me on Snapchat. Or,
like,
you know,
literally.
Or, you know, like, oh, my Instagram followers are down 10,000. You know, and you're like, they strike you as superficial or petty. And these two young souls are really doing the stuff that adults can't do.
When I was watching that Emma video, I there was just something, I just was bawling. I mean, I was just so upset watching that video. I don't know, something about it.
You know, talk to your kids about school shootings? I mean, what do you say?
This whole thing, I had to talk to my daughter about it. She's 11, and I had to. I had to be like, this is what's going on, because I know she had heard about it. So we had to have that discussion. My son, he's 8, so not, and I don't want to discuss that with him, you know, personally.
What do you say to an 11-year-old girl about school shootings?
I mean, I just said, hey, you know, this is going on, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, you know, the lockdown, this is why you do this lockdown. And you know, if you ever hear anyone in your school talking about this stuff, this is why you need to tell. You know, if you hear something, always say something, and, you know, just be in the know and know what to look for and what to hear for, you know. And that this is, you know, there's a lot of bad people out there, but not, you know, not everywhere, you know. And if you guys are just communicating with each other and being smart, then that's the best that, you know, that's the best that you can do, you know.
And Capo, so, or Tupo. I'm sorry. Your kids are not old enough to, toddlers.
No.
How old are your
they
kids?
Just sound
they
like
just
toddlers.
They act like toddlers.
No, how old is your oldest child? Or?
She's 12. She's actually good friends with DJ K.
Hayes.
You missed your cue, Fausto.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
No, I'm just trying to wonder, like, how that conversation with you it's guys tough. Have.
We practice drills where she throws either me or my husband in front of her as body shields, or we make sure that she sits by a window, and we practice her jumping out the window from our second floor of our house.
You had me going there for a second. I was like,
find the biggest kid in class and hide behind.
Exactly.
That's right. You know, the slowest kid in class.
You know, well, that's a few, you know.
Yes, yeah. We're teaching her how to make titanium spitballs.
Shit.
She's pretty bright.
It's brutal time that we live in, you know. It's as parents, you know, you're seeing sort of our government eroding. And people, a lot of Republicans are saying it's time to end the Republican Party. Just because not because of the necessarily even the gun control issue or anything political wise, it's just that Trump is eroding the rule of law. So they're passing all these laws, for example, the restrictions on for the Russians. It was passed unanimously in the Senate and then the representatives in the House. And Trump signed it into law and isn't enacting them. And a lot of laws that he signed into law, he himself is not pursuing them. And the Republican parties who are in charge, are neither of them are actually doing anything about it.
So we're really in a very dangerous time politically, unlike Nixon or other Reagan or other conservative presidents.
Absolutely. I don't know if it's so much about getting rid of the Republican Party, but more of getting rid of the lobbyists to make the playing ground, the playing field even.
Can it be both?
For like new. Well, you know, I mean, they've got a history, you know, that they've done some great things in the past, way in the past.
Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, so
ironically,
it's a sign of the times, I think. Hopefully there'll be a reckoning and people will wake up. But the lobbyists are just the biggest problem. You know, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of the NRA giving money to these Republicans. It's like $24 million that they've given. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the march that's taking place on March 25th, nationwide march against guns. Well, I don't want to say against guns, but for gun control. I believe if everybody that marched would just like had a place just to put $5, you know, and give to some sort of anti-NRA group. I mean, 5 million people giving $5 each, you've got the money right there to fight the NRA. You know, it's just, it's so simple, and somebody needs to do it. It's just not going to be me.
Side note, the march is on March 24th.
I'll try. I'll show it. March, what did I say?
March 24th.
It's Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
that's
be on
the
24th. A plane.
Oh, April 25th.
Cameron Klasky said that.
April or March?
March.
April 25th is the school walkout.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was going to be April 20th because they were
420. Yeah, that's a different holiday.
Baby, let's pull some bombs.
Cameron Klasky calls Marco Rubio, a.k.a. 17 or 15, because he's easier to buy, just as easy to buy off. As a politician, as a gun.
Well, he got how many millions from
pieces
them?
Pieces of shit. They
a
all
lot.
Are.
And he, basically, Marco Rubio is playing that down, and, you know, Cameron and Emma Gonzalez are saying, at least they're welcoming Marco Rubio's efforts to have a confrontation, to make himself uncomfortable. What's really unnerving is, like, these Koch brothers are secretly funding a lot of this stuff. And there's even information that the Koch brothers may have lent a lot of the Russian organizations and trolls the money that they needed in order to affect our political system. And people are like going in, even my friend Lady Bunny, she posts like, you know, you don't pay attention to anything on Facebook. Why do you think the, you know, Facebook trolls, even if they were there, how would they have affected the election? And, the election was close, you know. It's, it wasn't
50,000 votes, right?
It was by 50,000 votes in three states. So definitely, you know, the Russians were hoping that just to get noise. They were hoping to get discord, and they really won the lottery when they had Trump in office. And Trump is a disruptive force. He's destroying a lot of institutions, the rule of law, and you know, going beyond the wildest dreams of any KGB officer from the 80s.
Yeah.
So
Putin is
really
laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
He is having just a joy time.
Maybe we should be voting for Elvis Presley. there's a gentleman who's running for office in Arkansas.
Well, I like the name Elvis Presley because, you know, he probably can rock out, and he does, I guess, you know, he's named after the late superstar, but he's a libertarian. And so it's like, you know, there's issues like that. The libertarians are basically just Republicans who like to smoke pot. You know, that's all they do.
I know a lot of people like that.
I've got one thing in common with them.
you guys are both kind of, you know, have lived rock and roll throughout your lives. You know, you've dedicated your lives to music, and you're married into music, and your husbands, you very much love not just, you know, like Suzuki piano or violin lessons, but you're actually teaching people how to sing like a rock star. Kelly.
Yep.
Or
no, it's me.
DJ K-Hay. What kind of information, like, how does that even work? Like, if I enroll in your singing class, do I just go crazy on you? Or, I mean,
and I'd be like, tone it down there, tone it down.
What kind of mistakes do people who are trying to rock out as vocalists make?
So I do individual, you know, like lessons.
One-on-one.
And what kind of mistakes do they make?
They oversing. Oversing.
Yeah. What is oversinging exactly?
It's
just screaming too loud?
Yeah, screaming, totally. Okay. There's much more power in holding back. then there is
lean closer to the microphone if you want to.
There is the
be
lean,
louder.
The lean in, and then the pull back, kind of like a blowjob.
Oh, so you're creating like vibrato by the distance between you and the microphone.
I mean, no, there's all sorts of mic techniques and all that. But, you know, I'm just always hoping that they can sing in tune when they walk into my room.
Isn't that what auto-tune's for?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we weren't auto-tuned enough in our More Than Sad video.
That's right, yeah.
Did you guys use any auto-tuning?
Yeah. Hell no.
We are professionals.
Perfection.
We are professionals.
You're looking at me like I'm like the most slanderous thing I could accuse you of.
No auto tune here, baby. It's
not
all
even
the
just
real
a teeny
thing.
Bit.
Not a little tiny.
Hell no.
No.
Whisper.
No. No.
Hell
no.
No. That's why we have like 50 takes.
That's right. We're old school like that.
Well, is that so? Some of the problems I'm a big fan of Beauty and the Beast, but when, you know, Emma Thompson or Emma... What is the name of the star?
Emma, just call her Emma.
When Emma comes out, nobody remembers her name.
Watson.
She comes out singing, you know, Little Town, It's a Quiet Village. And she is so out-of-tuned, and it just hurts my ears. It makes me cry.
It's painful.
Yeah. It's affecting, I think, the way kids are singing these days, because everything in pop music is auto-tuned.
Yeah,
you can hear it.
Perfect.
You can just hear it. They just slam it on. Even if somebody doesn't need it, they just put it on. I don't know if we have shared
it. Or we're just used to it, or it's just it hits our pleasure centers.
Did you guys hear the guy at the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, that little kid?
Yeah.
Auto-tuned like crazy.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's like...
I've been too busy paying attention to Gus Kenworthy. He's the gay Olympian, although I don't think he got any medals this year, but he did rescue some dogs.
Honey, he won a medal in my heart.
I know. He's so sweet. You know, when he was at Sochi, he adopted like five Russian dogs, and he worked with the Korean Humane Society to shut down a puppy farm in South Korea.
So there's like a village that's starving now, not eating.
Well,
it was dogs that were being raised for food consumption.
So it's a complicated issue over in Korea, because it's like, you know, they regulate like consumption of like, you know, how cows and sheep and chickens are consumed or how they're butchered, but they don't do it for dogs, because people just, they don't eat dog that much there, but some people really do. When we did Cooking with Drag Queens, we talked to Kim Chi, who's a Korean drag queen, and she said in Korea it's something like a lot of the older people do. Like younger people don't eat dog as much, but they eat it when they feel like they have too much heat in their body. So it's kind of like you're drinking iced tea to kind of cool down. Mm-hmm. They just have like a nice hot dog
God.
To cool down. But
a dog stew mostly.
A dog
right?
stew is
a
mostly,
soup.
Yeah, it's some kind of soup.
God.
Yeah.
And has it just, you gotta make sure to take the dog collar out before you eat it.
But you know, it's so they do still eat it, and they do still eat it in other places in the world too, but not that much. But you know, when you ever buy like gloves or something like that at Walmart or at some other store, and it says fur from China, that's probably cat or dog.
Holy shit.
You know, so it's just, you know, you have to like look at those labels and think, do you really want to be wearing a puppy around your head?
Oh my God.
Well, just wearing fur of any kind is brutal, you know.
I always buy faux fur. But can we just talk about Kim Chi? How gorgeous.
The drag queen?
Yes.
Or the pickled cabbage. I like them both.
The drag queen. she's incredible.
She's doing really well, you know. Yeah. She's traveling around, and it for us, it's really interesting because we've been doing a lot of these shows for so long, and you know, we see amazing artists, and we were like rush out, like, you know, you guys, maybe if your careers, I hope so, in 5 or 10 years down the road is going to be amazing. And people like, you know, the big ditties, how did that even happen? You know, or people get mad at us. They call us star chasers because we have the ability to travel back in time and become friends with artists who become more successful later down the road. And part of it is like, we just know a lot of creative people. Not all of them are doing well, you know. Some of them give up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, and I want to impress upon that on the audience is that making music with your friends is the career, is the joy, is the gift.
Totally.
We just did this. We just laugh our asses off when we get together and we come up with something, you know, like we mash up Coldplay's Clocks with internet sensation Risque Smell Yo Dick, and we just laugh our asses off. And yeah. then when we play it out, we're like, we do it for us because we think it's hilarious. And then we go and play it out, we're like, well, I hope it works. And then people are loving it, you know?
You guys actually play out in clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got banned from one.
You got banned from a club?
Yes.
Why?
Because City Winery is just a little uptight. They just don't get us.
Yeah, we were with the opening for Kathy Richardson, who's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
she does
that
Janis Joplin.
We just
mm-hmm.
offended a table.
A couple. Know? We offended a couple.
Who we come to find out later on, were there for free because they complained about their food. So the management gave them...
A comp
ticket to the show. And mm-hmm. then not even knowing what they were walking into. They were walking in to see us, and we heckle our audience.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're
that's
really
what
crass.
We do.
Really crass.
And the staff there at City Winery, they loved us.
Yeah.
They just loved us. And we were like,
we killed. We got a standing O that night. I mean,
oh,
we
really?
Killed. It was sold out. It was like, yeah, they loved us.
And
loved
so
us.
These people, they got a free dinner. They came in, they complained about you, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't ever have you back because mm-hmm. you were offended.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice girls. Don't what? Do that kind of act.
So first City Winery, exactly. Next up Extreme.
Yeah, now we're being
free
now
the big
we're being banned by Extreme. I don't. Are they scared of us?
I don't know.
Extreme, are you scared of us?
I don't know. I still have faith. I have faith. In
well,
Extreme.
You haven't actually even tried to reach out to them. You
Let's
know,
call them on the phone right now.
I can just tweet
amazing.
Them right now.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That's
Seriously.
How Twitter works. Is like you,
no,
you know,
exactly.
just knock on their door.
We'll send them the video.
Just be like, Extreme, I'm not scared of you.
That's right.
I got big ditties.
I mean, that's that song. I love that song. I mean, it reminds, anytime I want to hear it, I just go to the 4-H fairgrounds in the summer and ride on the little spinny wheel, and I know it's going to play at some time, mm-hmm. you know, and I can just sing more than words. I love it.
Yeah,
love
don't
it.
Think too much.
No, stop.
Sorry. Coming or yeah. More than.
Yeah, right, beep.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic's like, I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
He usually gets permission, too, doesn't he? He gets the blessing from some of the artists.
He asks first, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have to.
Right.
So, and there, I've read about him where he's asked an artist, and the artist was like, yeah, totally, do mm-hmm. it. And then the label's like, oh, no, you know, no, you
he's
can't
got,
do
he's
that.
He's got a nose from people. For sure.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Has he gone ahead and done them anyway?
And then he
no?
has in that case, because he says, well, if the artist says no, then by all, I can respect that. But if it's a bunch of suits saying no and the artist says yes, then fuck them. I'm putting it on my website for free.
Yeah. And you it's know? Parody.
It's
Madonna
parody.
Wisely actually approached Weird Al Yankovic to do a cover of Like a Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
Early on, and she thought it was good for her career. And
absolutely.
Because it made the life of the song last longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And ironically,
sure.
like, you know, whoever's making this decision to shut you guys down ultimately is hurting the record sales, the long-term record sales of this song, because it reminds people of the original and makes them, if they're going to buy it, reminding them of the original is ultimately what this is. And you guys... refresh that in our minds with this timely parody.
Right.
That's extremely politically woke.
And we are bringing it to a new generation,
exactly.
because our videographer had not heard this song.
Yeah.
The engineer at the recording studio had not heard this song. They are in their 20s.
They're in their 20s. And when we played it out, there were people that had heard it. They were flipping out. And then they came back and they were in there and they brought their friends. And they didn't even, it's like they were, you didn't even care, you know, about the original on one hand. And then on the other hand, they're like, oh my God, this song is amazing, you know, the original.
Well, DJ K. Hay.
Hi.
To Poe. And Adric, who's not here with us today.
She's smoking.
Thank you guys.
She's on a smoke break this whole time. when we write, we just get to a point where we're doing something, and then she's like, I got to go have a cigarette.
Well, Big Ditties, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
I thank you guys for coming. I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you like the show, if you like the podcast, if you want to see it continue, consider becoming a Plus member at feastoffun.com. patreon.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. Or if maybe you'd just like to make a one-time donation, you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate.
Picture yourself on the internet shopping for t-shirts. T-shirts that are funny, that look real fly. Visit feastoffun.com. Sing along.
No, just
yay!
Kidding.
You need a jingle.
Yeah.
Where's the auto-tune? Where's the auto-tune?
Yeah, I don't need a lot of tune here around here. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.